Hi, this is Betsy Todd. I'm clinical editor at the American Journal of Nursing, and today I'm talking with Dr. Reed Mangels, who is a registered dietitian and former adjunct associate professor in the Department of Nutrition at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst. And Dr. Mangels has written a terrific article for us this month about malnutrition in the elderly. And so, welcome. I'd like to start off by asking you whether this question of malnutrition in the elderly is a particularly important issue right now.
Thanks. First of all, thanks so much for giving me this opportunity, Betsy. As far as whether it's a particularly important topic right now, I certainly think it is, and that's for a couple of reasons. One is that the elderly population is increasing. We've got baby boomers moving up into the ranks of older adults, and so there's a huge, there's been a growth in the number of people who are older. And also, there's been a change, and this has been gradually over years and years and years, but many older people don't have necessarily family members living closer who can kind of keep tabs on them. They may be, you know, living longer, trying to live independently longer. So I think the sort of perhaps the lack of oversight that we had at one point when older people maybe lived in the same area as their children, grandchildren, has given us this population that may not be doing well and we may not be as aware of it. Mm-hmm. So I think that coupled with the larger number of older people. And I think the other issue here is obesity, that we look at someone whose weight looks, well, I won't say exactly good, but they don't look gaunt. They're not
They're not what we think of as
right. And we may say, oh, that's a healthy older person. They're healthy enough. And they're really not if they're not eating correctly, and if they're not eating well, they may be certainly at risk for malnutrition.
And in this article, you provide a couple of really interesting case illustrations about how two different older people get into trouble with their nutrition. Do you find that there are any factors that are particularly common tipping points that suddenly greatly increase an older person's risk of malnutrition?
I think tipping points would be any sort of change. A lot of times older people do well when they're just kind of going along. Nothing much is changing, or it's changing very gradually. Any sort of abrupt change, whether it's a health change, social change or a living situation change can be a tipping point. As an example of each of those, health change, suddenly developing a condition that makes them unable to eat or to eat the foods they're used to eating. That's clearly, that's an obvious tipping point. Lifestyle changes, death of a spouse has huge implications for nutrition. And that's true for both men and women. Some of it is just the grief process. Some of it is companionship. There's no one else there. You know, if you're used to eating three meals a day with your spouse and they're not there, you may get off schedule and you may not be aware of hunger. And so that's common. And then there's the whole relocation, whether it's a hospital visit, which can be, as I'm sure you and your listeners know, can be extremely disorienting to an older person, or a change, a move from their home to an assisted living facility. Any of those can trigger sort of changes in desire to eat or ability to eat that can lead to some significant nutrition problems.
So those are times when we as nurses should be particularly alert for problems that might be popping up even with, a patient that we have followed in the community for a long time.
Exactly, and I think nurses, particularly community nurses, are in a great position to to notice the more subtle changes as well. Because I talked about these abrupt tipping points, but there are patients that are just sort of going along, and they're on a downward curve. It's not terribly steep, but they may just be getting a little bit more confused or maybe having vision issues or physical problems that make it harder and harder to shop and cook and and even feed themselves. So they may not have this dramatic tipping point, but it's sort of that watchful waiting for when someone needs to step in and give them some help that I think is also a role for nurses, as well as the sort of acute problems.
Well, in when nurses are working with elderly patients, either in the hospital or at home, when should the nurse be sure to call in a registered dietitian? I ask this because I know that certainly in the places that I've worked in recent years, dietitians as well as nurses are in short supply, and we nurses tend to kind of triage when it's most important to call a dietitian, but I suspect that we underuse you.
Thank you. My bias as a dietitian has always called the dietitian, of course.
Yes,
if you have
good.
Any, you know, any nutrition or food-related issues, please call the dietitian. But in terms of, and before I respond to your question, I do want to say that if you are in a setting where you have team meetings or any sort of thing, to be sure to include the dietitian, because a lot of times in those discussions it may come out that the dietitian has some insight into an issue that you may not think, oh, that's not a nutrition issue. Well, it may indeed be. So I think that's really important. As far as when to call the dietitian, I mean, there are a few really important situations would be if there is any anything else going on. Once you get into complicated situations where it's not just the person's not eating, but they're also diabetic or they also have borderline renal failure, they're going to need some dietary adjustments potentially. So that's a place, certainly a role for a registered dietitian. If you suspect malnutrition, and there's various screening tools that can be used to indicate that, they're, most of them look at things like unexplained weight loss, appetite changes. If you're noticing those kinds of things, it can be complicated to sort out what's going on. Is it a physical issue? Is it a psychological issue? Is it a disease process? And so I think having a professional who's trained to do a more in-depth assessment than, and I'm not dissing nurses at all here, but then a nurse may have time or ability necessarily to do. I think that's the time, is if you are seeing some of these red flags for malnutrition, and I talk about some of those in the article. But you know, unexplained weight loss is a big one.
And while I'm thinking of the hospital in particular, you have shared in your article some tips for people, for clinical people who feed elderly patients, either in a hospital or in a nursing home, people who cannot feed themselves. And I've been chagrined to see the way we often approach this task. And not necessarily in a very skilled way. And sometimes I think, you know, when I watch someone feed a patient, would you want to be fed that way? Or would that encourage you to eat more? So I wonder if you could share a few of the things that you mentioned in the article about what we should be thinking about when we are feeding another person.
Well, I think that the first thing is to make sure they're positioned for eating so that they are sitting up, if that's possible. You know, that they have whatever they need, whether it's their dentures, glasses, so they can see the food. If they need to have their hearing aids in, you know, just sort of checking to make sure that they're comfortable, and if possible, if they're able to communicate this, if this is a good time for them to eat. I actually, as a very young dietetic student, was supposed to be feeding a patient, you know, learning how to feed a patient, mm-hmm. and it turned out they really needed the bedpan at that point. That was their primary thing they needed. So, mm-hmm. you know, just checking in for is there any other needs that are more pressing at the moment.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the whole, the rate of feeding someone. If you can imagine if someone was just putting a spoon in your mouth constantly before you had time to swallow or to chew, it could be, you could start feeling pretty oppressed. So I think that watching for swallowing before you put the next bite of food in is important. It's important to, for some people to remind them that they need to swallow, that they need to chew their food, they need to close their mouth. And it's focus on them. It's an awkward situation when you think about it. Feeding another person, we do it for our babies, but, you know, we don't usually feed other people. So trying to make them as comfortable as possible, making it, you know, conversational, looking at them, talking to them or talking with them, but not talking to someone else.
Yes.
Or, which I see commonly, I would visit my parents in nursing home, in, you know, nursing home facilities, and I would see the aides, and it was aides feeding the patients, talking among themselves, and pretty much just automatically every few seconds putting another spoonful in.
Yes.
That's not the interaction. Think of how you would like to not just be fed. Most of us wouldn't want to be fed, but how you would like to conduct a meal. So use it as a social occasion, which is what mealtime is for most people.
Yes.
And look at them, talk to them, even if it's just talking, telling them what they're eating. Sometimes if you're serving purees, it's hard to tell what it is you're eating. What is this ground-up thing? What is it?
Mm-hmm. You know? What's coming at me?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, this is very helpful because I think that's, as you said, none of us think of ourselves as being in a situation where we would have to be fed, but it's a vulnerable situation, and yet it is still a social situation which can have a lot of potential to help this person besides, in addition to their nourishment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that there's... I think there's one other thing I'd like to ask you before we close, and that is if there's one overall thing that in writing this article you hope that nurses will take away from this after reading it.
I think it's just an awareness of the importance of nutrition. It seems so basic, but
but often forgotten in our technological environments these days.
It is, and I think, you know, the importance of nutrition and the difficulties with getting good nutrition that come with aging. And here I'm not even talking about dramatic, you know, extreme cases, just that it's harder to prepare food sometimes. And I don't know whether this is the overall message for this article or not, but I did want to just mention something that I have my students do. I teach a life, or I have taught a life cycle nutrition class.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I ask the students to do is to go to the grocery. They have an option. They can either go to the grocery store wearing either dark glasses or prescription glasses that are not their prescription.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And try to do shopping. I had one student who actually tied his shoelaces together so he could feel what it would feel like to not be able to walk freely.
Wow.
I just have that experience. And then to go home and prepare a meal, still wearing those glasses, mm-hmm. and wearing thick gloves on their hands, or tying, you know, taping a couple of fingers together,
mm-hmm.
and just experiencing the challenges of meal preparation.
I can see making me feel ready to give up very quickly. And you can see how people don't.
Then when you see, you know, people, I was horrified when I walked into my mother's room to see her she was on anticoagulants. She had her scissors in her hand stabbing the milk carton. I said, well, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And she said, I can't get it open, and there's no one to open it for me.
Yes.
Just being aware of even those very simple things, as well as looking at all the factors that go into nutrition and knowing when there's a problem. So weight loss, poor dietary choices, food safety. I can't pick one point here.
Okay, well, you started with awareness, and I think that's what we do hope for people. Yes, good. Well, Dr. Mangle, thank you very much for this wonderful article and for taking time to talk to us about it today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Todd. I appreciate the opportunity.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.